A well-worn text in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And our subject this evening is the very real benefits of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus later especially upon the latter part of this verse. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Christ here is urging us in a spiritual way to follow him. And he does so by pointing out the very real benefits of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are those benefits? What does the Lord mean here by not walking in darkness? And what does it mean truly to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, this verse actually is a very confrontational verse. It confronts our perspective of this world in which we live, our society. And it may stir us and provoke us. Many would be uncomfortable with the implications that the Lord Jesus Christ is making here concerning this world. Because we tend to think, until the Lord deals with us at least, that this world is our friend. And we tend to think that this world is on the up, and that it can be trusted and followed, and that its views and its perceptions of things are right, and we can put our confidence in the way that this world, and by the world I mean human society in general, thinks. But the Lord here is implying that the world is in darkness. In other words, in ignorance. Not necessarily ignorance in technological things or historical things, but it's in ignorance when it comes to spiritual things, the real meaning and purpose of life, who we are, where we are going. The world is ignorant of those things that are most important and vital to our lives, and especially regarding our deaths. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said this: one sun lightens the whole world, and so does one Christ, and there is no need of another. What a dungeon, he said, this world would be without the sun, and so would it be without Christ. The sun, in a physical sense, casts its light upon the world. It transforms everything. When it rises in the morning, it gives perspective. It brings cheer. It dispels so many fears and apprehensions. But in a spiritual sense, in the realm of the soul, Christ is the sun of righteousness, and his beams dispel the darkness. I am the light of the world, then, the Lord Jesus says here. And the implication, as I said, is that this world, spiritually speaking, is in a state of darkness. And it has been since Adam fell into sin. Our minds as a human race were darkened. The apostle says, our foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, our minds became closed and they no longer had a spiritual view and perspective of life. Darkness, then. What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean in this verse by darkness? Not physical darkness. I'm sure we all grasp that. But firstly, darkness in the sense that what happens naturally when it gets dark happens in our hearts and minds when there is darkness. So what happens when darkness falls, naturally speaking, when our perceptions are impaired? We can look out, we may see lights and shadows, but we can't really figure out what's going on because our perceptions have been impaired by the darkness. We may go for a torch so that we can see who's there, what's happening. Those on a military field will have their infrared sights so that they can see what is happening in the dark. But the Lord is telling us here that in a spiritual sense, our hearts are darkened, our perceptions are impaired. We do not know ourselves. That's the case with this world. People do not know themselves, who we are, how we appear before a holy God, guilty, condemned, undone, so ignorant of who he is. We're ignorant of his power, of his holiness, of his authority, ignorant of his loving kindness. We tend to think that God is not to be trusted. We cannot relate to him. It's because we are in darkness. We do not know really who we are. We are made in the image of God, but we do not grasp that, where we are going. We don't have a deep and clear perception of the meaning of life in that sense. Darkness also, when it falls, it brings apprehension and fear, particularly when we are children. Now, some of you, you've probably been for a walk this afternoon, perhaps around the fields. Would you go in the dark without a torch? There may be many reasons why we would say no, but we do not have the confidence. We do not feel completely free of apprehension and fear when it's dark. And so it is when we do not know or grasp spiritual things. There is a fear of death. There's a fear of the unknown. As much as we like to trust what we are told in this world, our consciences tell us that all is not right between us and our Maker. And so darkness brings fear and uncertainty. And of course, thirdly, darkness often leads to us taking wrong turns or stumbling. The Lord Jesus himself in chapter 12 of John says, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." That's his commentary upon society in general. We're in darkness. We do not really know where we are going, what our destiny is, what life is all about. But here he says, "I am the light of the world." The one who transforms and brings perspective and understanding and clarity to the whole meaning of life. He can bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Of course, he says here, "I am the light of the world." And that was telling because he spoke to the Jews. And the Jews were particularly self-centered as a nation. They thought that God was their God, but God had no interest in the other nations of the world. The Europeans, the Africans, the Asians, they had no purpose in the program of God. But that was not true. Even the Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah, he wrote this, "I, the Lord, concerning Christ, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a light of the Gentiles." Christ is a light to the world. In this sense, at the very least, he is the source of light to all the nations. one of the biggest heresies that does the rounds in this world, in every generation, is, oh, well, there are many lights. There are many ways to God. There are many ways that we can make sense of life. This is an exclusive claim. I am the light of the world. If we would have true clarity on the deep needs of our soul and the eternal issues of life, then we must come to Christ. That's the claim that he makes here. And therefore, we have to understand that what he is saying here is confrontational. He makes an exclusive claim concerning himself, and he makes what many would regard as a radical condemnation of human society generally. It's in darkness. It doesn't understand itself. And it's only as we come to Christ that we can truly make sense of life. Well, let's move on then. What does it mean here to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the benefits of following Christ? They are the two questions I want to try and answer from this verse this evening. And the Lord gives to us here two benefits of following him. Firstly, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So we need to establish in a little more detail what it means to walk in darkness. And then he says, secondly, but shall have the light of life. There's the second benefit. So what do these two things mean? Because they are really an advertisement. The Lord is saying here, you should follow me. It's the best thing you can ever do is to follow me, because I am the light. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. So to walk in darkness, first of all, what does it mean? And I suggest to you three things that it means to walk in darkness. Or rather, what it means not to walk in darkness. Firstly, it means that we shall not be left in ignorance of the great issues of life. If we do not follow Christ, then we will live and die and perish in our sins, Christ said. We shall be ignorant of the true meaning of life. But when we come to Christ, the darkness will be dispelled. We will see things as they really are. It will be like living in the day instead of living in the night. You know, those that live in a dark dungeon, they have many causes to fear. We fear sometimes in this life where no fear is. There are unseen dangers that haunt us. We see when we come to Christ so much more clearly. And the vanities of this life that capture our affections and dominate our thinking, we shall begin to see them as they really are. We will not walk in darkness. We will understand ourselves as needy, as fallen creatures, with fallen hearts, with a heart that is only prone to guilt and to sin. And we will see that our needs can only be met through coming in repentance before a holy God and confessing our sin and seeking forgiveness through him who speaks here as the light. Secondly, not to walk in darkness means to no longer be under the power of the ways of darkness. The Bible speaks of being in darkness as being in the grip of the evil one, Satan, the devil himself. He is the prince of this world. He is the power of darkness, the scriptures teach. And those who are away from Christ and living in darkness, they are dominated, governed by the ways of this world. Satan is the one who directs their thinking and shapes their outlook. It's a powerful thing, but that's the way the scripture speaks. The hymn writer said this, "Thrice happy one, my maker's care shall keep me from the tempter's snare, the tempter Satan, who betrays 1,000 unguarded souls 1,000 ways." Do we realize that away from Christ, we are just directed and deceived day in, day out by this duped world, the prince of whom is Satan? Live for the here and now, he says. Ignore God. Just do your own thing. Keep your nose clean. It'll all be well in the end. That's one of the biggest lies that has sent millions of people to a lost eternity. But if we come to Christ and we follow him, he says here, we shall no longer walk in darkness. The spell will be broken. We will begin to understand what is truth and what is reality. That's what the Lord here really means by saying, I am the light of the world. I am reality. To stand and to view things with the perspective that Christ gives through his teaching is to have reality. To know life as it should be known. To see life as it should be seen. To be able to value things as they should be valued. Will you come and stand in the light? Or do you prefer the ways of darkness? The Lord himself said previously in John's gospel, men, and he means by men people, people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People won't come to Christ because it strips away all the sham that is so connected with our lives. It sets us in the light of God's truth. And people don't want to think like that and to accept those things. And so they prefer the darkness. But thirdly, to walk in darkness, or rather not to walk in darkness, is to no longer be in danger of eternal darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of everlasting banishment as being cast into outer darkness. Darkness of the very worst kind. Darkness that can be felt. It's a solemn picture, isn't it? Outer darkness. The absence of all light. Nothing to cheer. Nothing to bring reassurance and certainty. To be absent from God eternally is to be in outer darkness. It's a solemn state. But those who follow the Lord shall not walk in darkness. Cut off from God. No. Then we have this second phrase, but shall have the light of life. And the Lord is adding something new here. The light of life. It's a strange phrase, isn't it, in one sense? Because light is an inanimate thing. It's not alive. I know we speak of the light bulb being alive in a sense, but it's not alive, is it? But the Lord here speaks of the light of life. Those who follow Christ, it will be, he says, like a light bulb moment in their heart, in their soul, a light coming on. There will be a newness to life. There will be new perspectives. There will be a whole new panorama. And life is seen in a different way. Christ is seen differently. Some of you will have heard of the old Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McChain. He died as a very young man, I think 29 or early 30s. He'd been a very influential and instrumental pastor in that short life. But he wasn't a follower of Christ as a young man. Up until about the age of 18, he lived for the pleasures of this world. He was immersed in them. And he would say, Jesus Christ meant nothing to him. He had no time, no thought for the things of God. But then the Lord dealt with him and humbled him and brought light and understanding to his soul, and he was transformed. Such was his love and devotion to Christ that he labored for souls, and he was a man who brought many to know the glorious gospel of Christ in that short life, a transformed life. He walked and he knew the light of life, newly awakened, spiritual perspectives on everything. Matthew Henry says, follow Christ, and we shall be happy in both worlds, this world and that which is to come. Follow Christ, he says, and we shall follow him right into heaven. The light of life, light, cheer, hope, comfort here in this world and heaven to come. Well, what does it mean then to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? That is something here perhaps that isn't emphasized enough. We can easily overlook the fact the Lord is not saying here, and let's just look at what he is not saying. First of all, he's not saying, he who is willing to hear me shall have the light of life. That's not sufficient. There are many who are willing to hear what Christ has to say. There were many that heard him as he preached here upon earth. And he had to say to them, something more is needed. Some of you here this evening, you're willing to hear. And I'm thankful that you are here and you're willing to listen, to hear what the word of God has to say. But the Lord presses upon us something more than just hearing. In fact, he warned the people at the end of his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, as it was known. As he finished, he said, if you hear, but you don't do what I say, you're like a person who builds a house upon the sand. It may look good, but as soon as the storms come, they will sweep that building away. But those who hear my word and do it, they are like a person who builds the house on the rock. Are we building the house of our life upon the rock or upon the sand? If we simply hear what the Lord has to say, perhaps even retain some of it in our heads, and we think about it, and we rehearse scripture, and we can win Bible quizzes, but we don't know the Lord, we don't follow him, then we shall not have the blessings, the benefits he speaks of here in this world. It implies to follow the Lord that we will obey his voice and keep his commands. There are some who do not go this far. They're simply hearing. Then the Lord doesn't say here, he that worships me, he that calls me Lord, shall have the light of life. Just as it's good to hear, it's right that we worship the Lord. He is the Son of God. He is worthy of our honor, our reverence, our adoration. But we need to do more than worship him, friends. The Lord says here, not he that worships me shall not walk in darkness, but ultimately he that follows me. A cheap Christianity that costs us nothing is worth nothing, is the old adage. Spurgeon used to refer to those who were golden slipper Christians. When it was easy and popular to be a Christian, they'd wear the slippers. But when Christianity required you to put on your hobnail boots and stand against the crowd and identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, though it may cost us our friends and our family's approval, then there are much fewer who are willing to do that, to follow Christ. Not simply to wear the badge is what the Lord speaks of here. So what does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, something here that the Lord is alluding to the feast. If you go back to chapter 7, you will see that it was at the time when the Jews kept what was known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was an old Jewish feast in which they remembered how their forefathers in the Old Testament had been delivered from Egypt, and they had been living a nomadic life, wandering in the wilderness. But during those 40 years when they were in the wilderness, they were guided by the pillar of cloud and fire. It was a light and it was a cloud, and it guided them. And the Israelites were to follow that cloud. When that cloud lifted from the tabernacle, that place of God's special presence where the nation came to worship the Lord, when it lifted and moved, they moved. They had to follow the cloud. They followed it across the Red Sea. They followed it then for 40 years in the wilderness. And it was as they followed the cloud that they proved the faithfulness of their God who had redeemed them from Egypt. And some think that that's what the Lord is referring to here. I'm like that pillar of cloud. Just as it was a light to guide the people, I am the light. You must follow me. Well, think of those Israelites then. What does it mean to them to follow that cloud? Well, firstly, it implied confidence. They had to have confidence in the God who was guiding them and leading them. And they had to commit themselves to that cloud. When the cloud moved, they packed up their tents and they followed until the cloud came to its next resting point. And to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is firstly to have confidence in him. That's why so few follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not have confidence in him as a person, as the Son of God, as the lover of their souls. Do you? My friend, this evening, do you have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's presented to you in the scriptures, as the savior of your soul, as the source and fount of truth and wisdom, as the one who can lead you to eternal safety and happiness? Do you have confidence in him? If you are to follow him, it begins with an expression of confidence in your heart. Have you told him that you have every confidence in him, in who he is, in what he has declared, in what he can do for your soul? Have you committed yourself to him? The Lord Jesus said, just a few chapters later, John chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Almost the same expression. To follow is to believe in his person, to believe in what he has come to undertake as the savior of his people, to live a perfect life on their behalf, because their life can never be perfect, to die an agonizing death upon Calvary's cross, bearing in himself the wrath and the judgment of God for the sins of his people. Do you believe in him in that sense? And therefore you are willing to follow him. To follow begins with faith and confidence. Secondly, the people, if they were to follow that ancient pillar of cloud and fire, it involved submission. In this sense, at least, the cloud moves. They may be in a pleasant oasis, and they may begin to think to themselves, what is the Lord doing, commanding us to move on? This is a pleasant spot. We can rest here. We can stay here a bit longer. But the cloud moved. And if they were willing to place their confidence in the God who had manifested himself in that cloud, then they had to submit and say, the Lord is calling us hence. And therefore, as a family, they were ready to dissolve their tent, as it were, and move on until the Lord brought them to their next resting place. And to follow Christ means to submit to him absolutely, unquestioningly, unconditionally. Do you submit so to Christ? If he calls you to leave this world, if he says you have to abandon that friendship, you have to forsake that sinful habit, you have to leave behind some of those dreams and plans that are incompatible with the life of a Christian, you have to put him first and walk in his ways, many will say, I'm not prepared for that. I'm happy to identify with Christ, but I can't submit to him. Submission is a dirty word, isn't it, in our society? No one likes to submit to the government guidelines. Well, I'll do my own thing, thank you very much. And it reveals something of our inward attitude. But to follow Christ, it means that we submit to him. We're willing to yield to him. Whatever he commands, whatever precepts are written in his word, we hold them in high regard. And we follow them with confidence. We keep those commands out of love, in duty, because he has spoken to us in these things. The Israelites, of course, the pillar of cloud, it led them away from Egypt. But we read in Numbers chapter 11 of some who, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. They missed the cucumbers and the fish and the leeks and the garlic and the onions. They wanted those things that in the wilderness were not available. And they thought, well, life in Egypt, with all its burdens and bondage, at least we had those tasty foods. And they wanted to go back. But if we submit to the Lord calls us away from those things that are part of the old life of sin and depravity. Thirdly, to follow Christ, it means to imitate him. The Old Testament Jews, they had to precisely, carefully follow that pillar of cloud and fire. And we are to observe the example of Christ. How he lived, how he conducted himself, how he reacted to trouble, how he refused temptation. We are to imitate him. We are to love as he loved. We are to honor the Lord as he honored his Father and did everything that pleased him. And the Lord says here, that is what it means. He that followeth me, he says, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We must draw to a conclusion. Ultimately, this verse is about assurance. And perhaps some of us here, we don't have much assurance. And what I mean by assurance is a deep confidence that the Lord has forgiven us. And the Lord is going to be with us, and that he has made us his child, and he will bring us at last where he is. We long for that assurance, perhaps. We do not have it. Well, to enjoy or to have the light of life, it means perfect confidence, certainty. That's what we have when the lights come on. Everything is in its place. We're confident in where we are and where we are going. And those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, commit them their lives to him, submit to his ways, follow him is a continuous thing, not a haphazard thing. It's a lifelong thing. And the Lord is saying, if we commit ourselves to him and we look to him to guide us and to help us and to impart his spirit to us, then we shall have the light of life. We will know complete assurance. The Apostle Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There's that perfect assurance. If you do not have it, then ask the Lord to help you to follow him. And before long, he will impart to you that deep assurance, that comfort and confidence that all is well with your soul because you are right with God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank thee for these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see this world for what it is. Help us to eye our Saviour as who he is, and move our hearts that we may follow him, and may we know the deep experience that this verse promises of no longer being in the darkness, but having the light of life. Grant these things to us, we ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen.